here on Raider Nation Radio. Clay Baker, Vinny Bonsignore here in Las Vegas. Thank you so much for being with us here as we get you going here on your morning on this Thursday. Case Kiefer will join us at 9 o'clock from the Las Vegas Sun here on Raider Nation Radio. A couple things. Hey, you know what? For the Summer of Fun giveaway brought to you by Planet Nissan, text the word bikini, B-I-K-I-N-I, to 702-365-9200. Your chance to win that awesome vacation out to Liverpool, England. 4 nights, 3 days over at the home of the Beatles. All you got to do is text the word bikini into 702-365-9200. You qualify for that prize. And if you can't go, maybe your passport's not up to date, you still get a chance to win something. They offer you a $3,000 cash prize. You got nothing to lose. Text it in, bikini, to 702-365-9200.
You know, real quick,
yeah.
I was talking to Case, whatever the last day of mini camp was, and he usually wraps up after the interviews and takes off and goes home to write. Doesn't live too far from the facility, and this particular day he stayed. So it was a little, I was like, oh, you know. So I know that he has a young son, and I was like, how is it, you know, trying to get your work in while your son is home? You know, I had to deal with that when my kids were younger, and you know, so sometimes I would just find whether it was a coffee shop or just worked at the office or wherever, or stayed in the media room. To work.
Sure, because when your little one's at home and you are at home, it's to them playtime.
Well, yeah, where Caillou, yeah. Little Bill, all the tricks of the trade,
yeah,
that you have
Bill.
To be able to create some space and some time, especially as a writer. I mean, you have to focus and all that good stuff. So Case has a nanny.
Oh, that's good.
He has a nanny, a nanny that comes in.
Yeah, you know that's. You know what? That is like now, like something that is somewhat affordable.
Like, who can afford a nanny?
It's not like the old days. There is a large supply of people that are willing to, you know, care.com and all sorts of resources that people are there to kind of like help navigate. And it's not, it doesn't break the bank.
Well, you know,
looking at comparative prices where nannies used to be like, well, you know, hey, that was an arm and a leg.
Right, exactly. And now that I say that, I think to myself, and it's hard to believe I even got through those times, or we even got through those times, my wife and I, because daycare is no joke.
Oh, it's bloody awful.
It is no joke, the costs that you incur with the kids, you know, during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
If you work and, you know, and
school's not going to be there.
So you have to find, you have to find some place where they can go, basically a summer school, whatever you want to call it, you know, activities, after school stuff, like all mm-hmm. of that. It's just amazing how much that actually costs. So I do wonder now, you know, and we won't get into all the details with Case, but maybe it is a little bit cheaper doing it that way.
And think about how, yeah. Like,
especially if you have multiple kids.
If you have multiple kids, but, you know, even at daycare, you're still just hoping that your kid comes back in one piece. You know, there's no guarantee, like, bad things can happen at daycare.
I'll never forget,
you know,
I went
people
to go,
can get hurt, you know, yeah, fights sure. can happen, stuff like that, or you get shunned by your friends, you have a bad day. At least if you have that certainty of somebody at home, wow, you really got like a real asset there where, you know, you don't have to go pick somebody up and you're not spending an arm and a leg for really could be sometimes substandard care.
Do you remember the basketball player Sean Tarver? He played at UCLA. He was originally a UNLV recruit with the O'Bannon, Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah.
But something happened and they both bounced back to UCLA. Well, Sean went to a high school in where I was living, and so years later, it's his aunt and uncle had a great daycare center. The Tarvers, great tremendous people, and so that's where my kids went. It was a preschool type of a thing, right? And two things I'll never forget. One day I go pick up my kids, and there's a parent with his kid. And they're having a little bit of a meeting with the Tarvers, and you know it's as the dad is picking up his son, and the son, to your point about some of the shenanigans that can happen, had been a little rough with some of the kids, mm-hmm. right? And so with some of the other kids, so the dad's like, you know, we've talked about this, you can't do it, and so one of the directors of the school said, sir, you know, your dad, your son said. He gets it from you because you're always playing, you know, violent games on.
Oh, really?
Right? And the dad, this is what happens. The dad says, I don't do that. And then the kid, and I'm just picking out my kid, signing out Noah and Jasmine, and I'm hearing this out of my other ear, out of one ear, and the son looks at me, he's like, yes, you do, Daddy. Like, when you get caught in a lie, and your kid's like, Dad, come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. That is the worst feeling. So but another time I went to yeah, exactly. They know.
Yeah, they know.
They know.
Yeah, so you're sitting there like, truth is out because they speak the truth.
Right. Yeah. Yes, yes, you do, Daddy. And so then another time I went to pick up my kids they're like, hey, come on back. You know, she's out back. It was a little recess period. And there's like this little big playground area. And there's my daughter, Jasmine, she's on a little, like, almost like a big wheel. Remember the old school big wheels? But it wasn't the big wheel. It was whatever you got nowadays, you know?
Okay, sure, yeah,
the contemporary little. And she's on the back seat, and there's this little dude driving her around, and she's, like, looking like a queen back there, you know, just like, take me over here. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is
she got probably a driver.
Probably a sign of the times, yeah, or a sign of what's to come, because she had her little driver, and he was just scooting her around and everything like that, and she was looking like she was going shopping or something like that with her chauffeur, basically. So I was like, oh, Lord, please don't let this be a sign of what is to come, which it hasn't.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's two brilliant kids understanding what they both want. The boy wants to drive,
yeah,
and the girl's like, I don't care, but just take me somewhere over here.
Take me over to the monkey bars over there, and then we'll head over to whatever, you know, they had back there. But yeah, but that kid saying that, I could still hear his voice, Dad, yes, you do. And it's like, oh, you know, you never want that conversation to happen in front of mom.
Yeah,
there
right.
are times where you tell your kids, mom doesn't really need to know about this right here.
Right. And I tell you what, every time you do that, mom's going to hear that in some way, form, or fashion. And it's going to be found out that you try to withhold information
as
the father.
Well, yeah. Exactly. And it's there's always a little bit of a discrepancy there, because my daughter's told me, Dad, you know how many times like we've been out kind of shopping around, me and mom, mm-hmm. and Dad doesn't need to know about it. Because I'm not really one of those sticklers on looking at every little transaction and stuff like that.
Sure.
As long as there's enough for everything, which there is, and leftover and savings and all that, I'm not going to be a stickler. But, you know, and so I was like, oh, really?
$79 for shoes.
Yeah, right. And Dad doesn't really need to know about it. So, oh, I see. So I get in trouble when I say that. But it's happening over on the other side, which I never, ever, ever brought that up. And hopefully Lynn's not listening right now.
Right, right. Because there's no way you're getting the last word
Heck
in on
no.
that one. No, no,
you
no.
You just
no.
let that, yeah. you know, I was watching on YouTube last night. Bill Burr was talking about how great he gets along with his wife now. And Bill Burr, the tremendous comedian, probably my favorite comedian of right now. And he was talking about, I just learned that you can't fight every single battle. So it's just like, yep, you're right. Absolutely, you're right. Even he goes, it's killing you in the inside because you know, no, you're not right, but I'm just going to concede right here. Yep, and it reminds me of when I was getting ready to get married. I met my wife at a gym, Bally's over on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City. And so word got around because I was like a total regular there. Every morning at a certain time, I was at the gym. And
you didn't want to go to the Vic Taney?
No, and head right to work from there, and it was great because Studio City, there's like actors, producers, directors, like there. It was kind of a who's who at times, and we all kind of get along. And my picture was in the paper as a columnist, so everybody, I don't care who you were, you're coming up, Vinny, what happened to the Lakers last night? You know, like I felt like and it was funny because I used to on an elliptical machine. There was a doctor that worked out right next to me, and we would spend like an hour on the machines talking. And he's like, you know, it's funny. I get that all the time too, because I'll be at dinner with my family, and a friend or a family member, or I don't care if I'm at a barbecue. You know, my wrist is hurting a little bit. Like mm-hmm. he was like,
could you take a look at my feet?
Could you take a look at this? Could you take a look at that? I go, yeah. You know, it is. It and people will talk your ear off about what happened to the Dodgers last night. Why is Pete Carroll doing it? Anyway? So. So once word started circulating that I was getting ready to get, you know, married, you know, in a couple of months, every old dude in the gym that I knew, would pull me aside for advice, right?
Mm-hmm.
To give me, you know, this is if you really want this thing to work, you know. And one old dude was just like, look, I'm just telling you right now, lose the hearing in your left ear.
Okay.
Just lose it when she's talking. Because especially when she's complaining or pointing something out, just lose it and let it just not even be heard, because it'll save you, man. You're not, because once you hear it, then you're going to want to retort and get mad and, you know, just lose that hearing. Another one was a separate
okay.
vacations. I was like, I'm not going to do that. But he's like, I'm telling you, man, it's, you get away for a week. She gets away for a week. It's just, it's great.
I wonder how some of the couples that are able to manage that, the separate vacation, how does that,
My brother does that. But it was the irony of all irony. About 2 or 3 years later, I'm in New York City walking down Fifth Avenue. And who do I see walking right towards me is the guy that told me that.
Oh, whoa.
Bill. His name was Bill. And he was a producer in Hollywood. And I see him walking toward me, and I'm like, and he's all by himself, you know, and he's got this big smile on his face. Like, what are you doing here? Separate vacation. he was in New York.
I told you.
By the way, that guy and he and some other, you know, Hollywood types. Remember the All-Star game where they ran out of pitch?
And
they had to cancel the game.
The one in Milwaukee where Bud Selig was there behind the plate. Like,
they just run out of pitches.
It's a 12th inning cancel.
It's like when I say I was a regular, it was like 6:30 in the morning. That was the time that I would go to the gym. I loved to go to the gym early in the day. So all those dudes are around machines, and Roy Firestone was there. He was a regular at our gym, and they're like, These are Hollywood, you know, dudes, and they're talking about the opportunity that was lost. How the hell do you not just capture that moment? Just decide, let's have a home run hitting contest. Let's decide it with a skills contest. You end the game and just come out and announce, yeah, the game's over. Because you ran out of pitchers? Where's the creativity right there? Mm-hmm. You had a moment where you could have just done something insanely crazy and fun, and the fans at home would have loved it. The fans in the stands would have loved it. Just come up with some impromptu competition to figure out a winner. Nobody likes a tie. That's the worst thing that you could possibly do. And they were just going on and on, and it became, what would you do? You know, how would you do it? And they were right, though. They were absolutely right. Just figure out a way. Like, you know, now I'm sure that's the other part. You didn't have a contingency plan?
Like, there was nothing in the bylines or procedures of, like, what to do in this special exhibition.
Right, you
nothing.
Didn't
it was like,
think
it could go on
that
forever.
This could possibly happen, and what would we do if this happened? Of course you don't want to bring in positional players to pitch right there, because that could hurt their arm, and they're lost for their team, and that would suck.
And it kind of makes a little joke of the whole lead up to the Midsummer Classic, where Pete Incaviglia is going to throw from the mound.
Right,
you know?
But you had the best players in the game right there. There has to be something that you can do that could have figured out a winner right there in a way that everyone would be talking about in a great way, rather than a completely negative way. Like, I'm over there, like, they're going to just end the game right now. That's it. That's how ridiculous.
Yeah, the only way to do it would have been a home run derby, and everyone would have been happy with something like that, right?
Right. They're, you know, come on. You know, so, I'll never forget that day. And they were right. They were absolutely right.
Roy Firestone, was he saying that in the locker room?
About that.
Yeah, so he could his own couch bench.
I love you, Roy, but Roy Firestone would, in the locker room, just there's benches in front of a wall of lockers, and he would always take at least half of a bench with his gym bag, his clothes, his towels, all that. And we're all looking at him like, dude, what are we doing here?
You've been to other locker rooms, right, Roy? We're all in here sharing the same space.
I don't know if you remember the movie.
He's got great hair, though.
Yeah, it was Hollywood. It was Robert Townsend. He did the movie.
Hollywood Shuffle.
Hollywood Shuffle.
Yeah, one of the great all times.
And every single day, somebody would come, Winky Dinky Dog. Winky Dinky. You know.
Batty, batty, batty.
Oh, it was. And I told him, I pulled him aside one day. I go, you don't even know, because me and my friends know every line to that movie. Like, it was one of those, it was a quotable.
Such a great classic.
Quotable. If you haven't seen Hollywood Shuffle, go rent Hollywood Shuffle. It's funny, poignant, all of those things. And I thanked him. I was like, dude, you don't understand, man. You do not understand. He goes, I think I do understand. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, because a lot of people have told me that, but just a true, total gentleman. But I had to, like, it's, I've been for months. I see you over here, and I just wanted to say something. But all I could think of is just thank you, because that was such a great movie, and it's provided me and my friends just so many great memories. Byron Scott used to do the winky dinky. He's a great, great impersonator. He used to do the Orange Julius. Remember, I saw you. Hand it in the rain. And the guy would say, "Oh yeah, you cold busted," you know, and he would get up in the locker room, and all the Lakers would be just cracking up. All those credit cards, yeah, I tore them up. You know, he had it down pat. Yeah, exactly. Orange. What was it? Not Orange Julius.
Orange Juice Jones.
Orange Juice Jones, baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. There's an interesting text from the text line 702-365-9200. We'll get some thoughts in. We'll also go over through the top 10 list of roster holes in the NFL and how does that affect the Raiders.
Chiefs bring four over the middle. Wide open man at the 15. Myers breaks a tackle at the 5, and he's in. Touchdown, Raiders. Jacoby Myers with a slant right over the middle, and Aiden O'Connell caps off a perfect opening drive with a 19-yard touchdown pass to Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I think, AP shows his emotions. I think he's not going to hide what he's feeling, and so we appreciate that from him. He's honest. He's open. He's vulnerable with us, and so you can get behind somebody like that. And so for him, he's been through so much. Is for him to take this role and to lead us the way he has been awesome. And we've been in basically every game that he's coached, and so again, just can't thank him enough for what he's done for me and for our team.
Raider Nation Radio back with a call. Raiders Radio Network, Jason Horowitz, Lincoln Kennedy, Vinny and Clay here in Las Vegas in your studios. Let's take your thoughts, 702-365-9200. Let's get out to Rocky Mountain State. Dave, Raider Dave in Denver. Long time no talk. How's it going, man? What's on your mind?
Pretty good. I appreciate the ability. On my mind lately has been AOC versus Dak and that kind of conversation and where it would leave the team. I don't think that. And if Dak is top 10, fine. I'll give him 10. If you want to give him 9, great. What was the best of Carr? 12, 11?
No, two different quarterbacks, but go ahead. No,
well, hey, listen, I remember seeing Dak in an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're talking about
seven playoff games.
Five times into the playoffs, division championships. 12 okay. win seasons, multiple 12 yeah, win
I,
seasons.
I get all that. But when you're going to count getting to the dance, they both fell shy. So nobody could discount the fact that Dak was probably on a better overall team, roster-wise, than Carr was. But with AOC and the ability for him to come in a partial season and outplay in some categories C.J. Stroud, I think the Raiders team overall is better than Texans. I really believe that the ceiling is unknown for AOC, where it is already known for Dak. And I think the money is just too much. That kind of money didn't work
okay,
out.
Okay, so we know Rodgers. That. So obviously, Raider Dave, obviously, we don't know what the ceiling is. What do you think the ceiling is for Aiden O'Connell? Honestly.
At least in an AFC championship game. With this team and this defense, are you kidding me?
Those are
definitely high expectations right there, because we still haven't seen a full season from Aiden O'Connell. At least we've seen what a full season with Dak Prescott.
We know that Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback. Last year he was a MVP runner up, and he was a top 4 quarterback in the NFL last year.
But Raider Nation doesn't want any of that. They want a ring. And so getting somebody at $60 million is going to eviscerate the personnel in this offense that everybody loves to think has made this team what it is. So putting a quarterback in there with a ceiling that we just don't know about, I think is better off than having a quarterback in there that has a ceiling we've already seen with top-notch offensive lines and running games and teams. And I'll tell you one other thing. A couple seasons ago, I saw a Denver and Dallas preseason game with what's his face that ended up leaving and going to Chicago or whatever. So during preseason, during a pregame warm-ups, Dak Prescott could not hit Ezekiel Elliott on a 10-yard out 4 times in a row. It was over the top. It was out of bounds. It was at his knees. They ended up working on it extra. And the other quarterback that had just come in for the Broncos from Seattle just was spot on all the time. I don't think Dak's footwork helps him when he's crossing over to his left to throw. You know, these kind of things have hurt him, even though he has a great running game all these years or a great defense. I just don't see it being worth that money. And obviously the owners are seeing that too, because they don't think that there's enough Mahomes out there for $60 million. If they would pay $60 million and have a Mahomes, I'm sure they would do it. But for Cousins and all these others and somebody who's only playing, you know,
what did Trevor Lawrence just get?
Injury, what?
What did Trevor Lawrence just get?
You know, Trevor Lawrence now at $55 million a year. I mean, I think there's at least half the teams in the league that would be like, I'd kick the can on that. We would try to make the money work for that.
Yeah, sure. There's no guarantees, but somebody kicking the can on a young quarterback like that, I get that. But paying somebody like Dak Prescott $60 million, I don't think that's going to work at all.
Dak Prescott is a proven top 10 quarterback. Trevor Lawrence hasn't even sniffed that, you know, on a consistent basis. That's the ultimate gamble.
You wouldn't want a proven guy like
Dak. No, I mean, look, here's the question. We're saying that at the end of the year, if you're still just on Aiden O'Connell and feeling like, okay, I got a better feeling of where his ceiling is, and it's not where you need it to be. At that point, if Dak Prescott is available, how do you not consider that?
Because it's the same thing that Kirk Cousins did in Minnesota. It just fell short.
Okay,
that's
all right.
Always falling short.
I think he's a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. I think he's got more mobility than Kirk Cousins.
All right, Dave, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. That's good, man.
I do too, but I don't see. I know that it's only going to be a cost, and you have to be able to figure that out. But you know, when you talk about Dak Prescott and the success that they've had, how many playoffs they've been to, mm-hmm. his record in the division, coming off of 36 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, had the best passer rating under pressure last year compared to the rest of the NFL, the highest quarterback rating. Next to Tua Tagovailoa last year. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's perennially in the top 10, and last year was top 5 by all measures. Coming into this year, I think PFF had him ranked as the 6th best quarterback coming into this season. I mean, it's compared to somebody that, you know, for as whatever Aiden matched and did this and did that, mm-hmm. he was still in the low 20s as far as all the metrics.
And honestly,
so is Gardner Minshew.
Yeah,
and they were really bad in key areas in third down offense and, mm-hmm. and red zone offense. So, you know, I get it. Like we're saying, use this year to figure out what you have in Aiden O'Connell. But if you're not, if Aiden turns in kind of a similar season that he did last year by all the metrics, I don't see how and Dak Prescott is available. I don't see how you don't jump all over that.
I think that's what we've been trying to portray. Yeah. Like, if you get the same sort of kind of like middling stats that you get and you're not winning football games the way you were hoping for, that's not a long-term answer then position.
Would you take the certainty that just right now, if you had the chance to just wave a magic wand and bring Dak Prescott onto the Raiders right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes.
Of course, yes.
Because there's certainty. I mean, yeah. Okay, and it's arguable. Hey, Dave, I get it. Like, maybe we've seen the ceiling on him, and it's not good enough.
It's a pretty damn good ceiling.
But I would be like, you know what? Give it a chance.
Ceiling is the best ceiling, the highest ceiling that the Raiders have had in years.
There's so many more variables that go into it. At least he gets you to up past the curtains near the ceiling.
Right.
I would like to get to that part.
With the right game plan, with the right supporting cast, with the right defense, I fully believe that Dak Prescott can help you get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that he could win you help win three games in the playoffs to get you where you want to get to. And just as of right now, if you had a chance to do that, I don't see how you wouldn't. And I know the money is a consideration, but the great thing, why this is so intriguing to me is that the roster is in place. You're not adding Dak Prescott to a desolate roster that you now have to do all this rebuilding or building around mm-hmm. him. The rebuild has already happened. You have the foundation in place. And if you can improve, it's why they were going to potentially trade as much as they were going to trade to go get Jaden Daniels. They understood that this is the time to really strike. And so whether it's trading up to get a Jaden Daniels or adding, you know, a Dak Prescott. And as we sit here today, Dak Prescott's a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is all pomp and circumstance and potential, and he may turn out to be
it's all potential.
The greatest thing mm-hmm. since sliced bread. But Dak Prescott represents something that's pretty darn good. Right, what he represents, he's better than Jared Goff, and Jared Goff has gotten multiple teams to the NFC Championship game and one other team to the Super Bowl. And he probably, if a couple guys hang on to some throws last year that were right on the money, the Lions should have been in the Super Bowl last year as well. They should have beat the 49ers in that game.
Yeah, you're up 17 points at halftime. Right. You should probably win that game.
Right, and it wasn't because of the quarterback. It was because there were a couple of big time.
Yeah, drops. The defense couldn't stop the 49ers, and it was just
when it got right down to it.
You could see everybody was pinched tight once they started seeing Christian McCaffrey run. Brock Purdy had a huge run.
Like, right, that was probably the biggest play of the game, right there.
That was it, and that's all that story came down to. You know, there was an interesting text that came in from a new texter, Jesse. He goes by the name the 77 Raider. It's kind of like Raider 66, the son of 66.
There you go.
The 77 Raider says, Aiden O'Connell is going to be good enough to let us move on from hunting for a quarterback. Mm. So now we can concentrate on our corners because it's a passing league and the D-line won't matter because the ball will be out in half a second. All right. 77 Raider, appreciate that.
I hear you. I don't know that that's going to – look, I've been sitting in for Q. The Baltimore Ravens won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer, and he was gone the next year, literally gone the next year.
Yeah, they signed Elvis Gerback.
Yeah, now that was the signing of Elvis Gerback was a mistake. Moving on from Trent Dilfer, not a mistake. They needed to improve at quarterback. They won only because of their defense that year. Trent Dilfer barely contributed in a meaningful way. That's why a Super Bowl team decided need to do better at quarterback. So, short of Aiden O'Connell just being great this year, I don't see that the Raiders aren't at least considering improving at quarterback at the end of next year. Now, that could, again, mm-hmm. I totally leave room for narratives to change or perception to change. And Aiden O'Connell, first of all, he's got to win the job. We don't even know if he's going to win the quarterback job. It could be Gardner Minshew. So all this that we're talking about, Aiden O'Connell, there's no guarantee that he's even going to be the starting quarterback of this team. And you're talking mm-hmm. about, oh, I'd rather have him than a Dak Prescott. Like, as of right now, you don't even know if he's going to be the starting quarterback this year. That's still to be determined.
And there's so much more to go with what needs to get done. And we, as you saw, it wasn't sparkling during the OTAs and minicamp. Not like the expectations were to be, but if you're still trying to figure out where the install is, all right, well, who's going to come out on top? And at least with somebody that is like a Dak Prescott that you know is always
still
going to be the starter.
Prime.
He'll be turning 31 in about a month. He's still in there. There's still plenty of tread on that tire.
For sure.
And you don't have to question about if somebody comes onto your team, do they have to win a spot? Dak Prescott would not have to.
He'd be your starting quarterback, period, exclamation point.
Here's Antonio Pierce on the quarterback competition.
Oh, I think they embrace the competition. It's great. I mean, the best part about it, it's a friendly competition. And when I say friendly, we shake hands and kiss baby. When we go out there, we're trying to both be the guy. And you love to see that. And our team sees that. And I said this probably early on in off season. When you have competition, some people see competition at the quarterback position as like, oh, my God, we're scared. No, I love it. Because the rest of our team are looking at them. So what does everybody else on our team have to do? They have to compete. And what we now have is competition throughout our entire roster. There's competition in the running back room, that defensive line room. There's some boys in there. There's some grown men in there that can play football. Not going to be able to keep all of them. Our linebacker room, our DBs. I mean, there's some guys here that's really seeing the competition at quarterback has risen the level of competition overall on our team.
From the text line, 702-365-9200. Thanks again to Dave's call. It's opened up some thoughts here as El Paso Raider checking in. What's up, El Paso? He says, do people really still defend Carr? I'm not a fan of Dak, but I wouldn't be opposed at all to bringing him in. I would take Dak over Carr in a heartbeat and any damn day. So did Dave really put high expectations on Aiden O'Connell? Because these same Carr fans never put expectations to Carr. They just gave excuses. Carr was not a winner, and nor was he a top 10. He was a top 12 to top 20 quarterback at best. Thank you, El Paso Raider, for the thought. Let's get some more from you from the phones. Out to upstate New York, out to Woodstock with Dave Casper's Ghost. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, man?
I want to throw my two cents in about the QB situation. I would drive to wherever Dak Prescott lives and carry him to Vegas, and I'm in Hudson Valley, New York.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
I would sign him. The constant with him is he gets his teams to the playoffs. If you're telling me you can put Dak Prescott on the Raiders this year, I think they would make the playoffs. I don't want to go down another rabbit hole. I don't think they're a playoff team this year. I don't even think they're a winning team this year. But if you put someone of his caliber on this team this year, they're in the playoffs. Yeah, yes, Dak, you can knock him for coming up short in the playoffs. I've heard last year against Green Bay, he was not good. But he gets his team to the playoffs every year. They're a 12-win team every year. Yes, has Dallas overall come up short in this recent run? Absolutely. But they're in the playoffs every year.
Okay.
That's all I want. Yeah. I want consistency, and I want them in the playoffs. Well, then it becomes a bit – one last point. When you get into playoffs, like any playoff, it becomes a bit of a crapshoot.
Of course.
So get me into the playoffs, and then let's deal with it then. If you have a stout defense and you've got a all-pro caliber quarterback, you cannot ask for anything else. Anyway – sorry for yelling, guys.
No, you deserve to yell. You want to see, you know, the tree to bear some fruit finally.
Dak Prescott on third downs last year, okay? 116.7 passer rating, which was best among the players that got the most, you know, snaps in that area. Patrick Mahomes was 112, by the way. Threw for 1,409 yards. This was his which was second best behind Tua Tagovailoa. If you want to look at the just yards, it was Tua, Dak, Baker Mayfield, C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts were the quarterbacks that that did the best yardage wise. His passer rating was 116.7. Like I said, on third downs, which was Aiden O'Connell was way down the list. He was in the mid 20s. As far as, like, if you want to talk about yards, yeah, Derek Carr was 10th, but his passer rating was 83.8 on third downs last year. Again,
had enough.
116 for Dak Prescott. I mean, these are areas that you win games in on third down. I'll go check out the red zone statistics as well, but I imagine he was pretty good in that area as well. So you have to look at these situational parts of the game where you're either winning games or losing games. And Dak Prescott, again, the second best quarterback in terms of yards and the best quarterback in the NFL last year, as far as like, the passer rating compared to starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So, I mean, this dude is a very good quarterback. All anyone's basing this on is the success that hasn't happened in the playoffs, but there's a lot of different things that play into that. And his numbers are pretty good in the playoffs as well. So,
yeah, it wasn't like you completely folded when you got to the playoffs. If you look at some of the games, it's not too bad. I mean, you know, and of course everyone wants to have that payoff, right? You know, you want to play well. But even last year, you know, in the playoffs, he was 41 for 60. Three touchdowns, 403 yards. A couple of years before where it was just like one when he was one and done, 23 for 43, 254 yards, a touchdown. 42 of 65, 492 yards, two touchdowns.
Tells me that the defense probably wasn't doing it. When you have to throw that many times, it's because the defense
getting found out.
Right, exactly.
All right, before we take a break, we'll hear a word from Dos Caras Tequila here on Raider Nation Radio. But keep them coming on the phone, 702-365-9200. We'll talk to Case Kiefer from Las Vegas Sun at 9 o'clock.
By the way, Dak Prescott, 2023 red zone, was fourth in the NFL, ranked fourth. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson.
That's the top shelf. Huh. Right there. That's elite to me. That's elite stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So talking about our good friends over at Dos Catas Tequila, Les Cacahuna literally just texted me his all-time top five NBA team. He's just such a sports head, and I love him for that. And even though he hates the Celtics, as he said, I had to put Larry Bird and Bill Russell on that team, even though I can't stand the Celtics. That is a true fan, somebody that puts partisan love aside and does the right thing. So good on you, Les Cacahuna. And look, we always tout the partnership that Dos Catas Tequila has with La Casa Cigar and Lounge over at Tivoli Village. They do a great thing where they pair up. Mike Prieto is the owner at La Casa, huge Raider fan. He pairs up some of his specialty cigars with the labels of Dos Catas Tequila. So you could go chill, sip on some great tequila while it's paired up with some specialty cigars. It's a great venue, great chill lounge. There's music every night. You get to talk about the Raiders, and it's really casual and chic at the same time. So go check out Les and Mike over at La Casa Cigar and Lounge over at Tivoli Village. If you want to just go shop for some tequila, Dos Catas Tequila, which it's the hottest tequila brand here in Las Vegas right now. They're the official tequila of the Las Vegas Aces. Go check out Total Wine, great store. Head over to the tequila side of the store. Pick up your Dos Catas Tequila there, Lee's Liquor. And if you're not in Las Vegas, don't sweat it. Just go to doscatasspirits.com and you can get your next order of Dos Catas Tequila shipped wherever you are. Dos Catas Spirits is where all the details are.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Couple more minutes for the top of the hour. We'll talk to Case Keeper from The Sun here on Raider Nation Radio, but let's get back to the phones before we do. At 702-365-9200 to Colorado with Hardcore Raider. Hardcore, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm just not understanding or seeing the infatuation with Dak Prescott. Okay. You know, there's a few topics I want to, like, touch on, but I've kind of heard your guys' arguments, and some of them are valid. But some of them I'm going to, try to respectfully disagree with, if you guys don't mind. I'd like to go over a couple things. So, first of all, the playoffs, because someone's making that argument. I would argue that our division is way tougher than the Cowboys' division, right? If you look at the Commanders and the Giants, people like to call Daniel Jones Danny Dimes. I do not think that guy is throwing dimes. I think he throws ducks, okay, with a D.
Yeah.
And then... Dak Prescott's playoff career, he's 2-4. That's a 33% win rate. And if you're playing your division, you have to play those teams each twice. Yeah, you're going to have a lot better chance to go to the playoffs when your division is weak. You know, I know the Broncos aren't very good, but I would argue even with the Chargers having a bad record and a bad coach, that their roster is much better than the Giants or the Commanders. So
he's 9-4 against the Eagles, too.
Say again?
He's 9-4 against the Eagles as well.
Okay, so that's a good stat. You know, I'll give you that. But in 2022, Dak Prescott, I mean, did we forget? He was leading the NFL in interceptions before he got hurt. So the year before last, like, he was not doing good. What did he have, 23 touchdowns and 15 interceptions throughout 12 games? 12 games, he threw 15 interceptions. That's a very not good number, you know. And then in 2020, he was hurt as well. He only played 5 games. There is some stats in there that, yeah, I mean, like his QBR and his overall stats.
What do you think? Okay, give me two categories that you think are extremely important for quarterback success and team success. Can I throw a couple at you?
Sure.
Third down, right? Third down's pretty important, would you say?
Of course, you already know the answer.
How about red zone? How about red zone?
Yes.
Okay, third down passer rating, 116.7. It was the best among starters last year. The Cowboys averaged the most points in the game last year, 29.7, I think it was, 30 points, you want to say, number one in the NFL. Red zone passer rating, number two was Dak Prescott behind Brock Purdy. I don't see why where everyone is going with – and by the way, they changed the offensive coordinator. Remember what happened? You know, some of – like that the year that you were talking about where they were struggling. Remember they had the whiz kid that was the offensive coordinator? Well, they changed that and look where he went with the new system that was, I think, more conducive to him. And that was without really a much of a running game last year as well. He excelled in the key areas. He took care of the ball as well as anybody in the NFL. His passer rating under pressure was the best in the NFL last year. He was second best in the red zone and second best on, best quarterback rating among starting quarterbacks on third downs. He was tremendous on third downs, tremendous in the red zone, tremendous on the interception to touchdown ratio, and he oversaw the best offense in the NFL. Like, I get it. You might not, he's not Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's Patrick Mahomes, but he stacks up there with everyone else that's not named Patrick Mahomes, and in most cases is the superior quarterback to them. And what I'm saying is, compared to what the Raiders have right now, and by the way, all those numbers that I just mentioned, Gardner Minshew was not good at, and neither was Aiden O'Connell. Could they improve? Yes, they have to improve. That's just a bottom line. They have got, both of those players have got to improve on third downs, have got to improve in the red zone, and have got to improve on the touchdown to interception ratio. So there's that. I'm just saying, like, right now, you seriously would rather have what they do have right now compared to a Dak Prescott?
Well, here's the thing, Benny, and you know, I appreciate your insight, but and you have, you make some valid points, but we haven't even played one down.
I get that,
but no, we're kind of past that, and we should look to like the future or Plan B. I get it. So, like, you know, I'm not going to disregard if things don't work out, but you know, we also don't know what we do or don't have. I know practices haven't gone well, but like, you know, I'm in a wait and see kind of moment. And
for sure,
if that's the best option, then maybe we at least explore. Okay, but I would argue last year, yeah, what was a good year for Dak Prescott? But I almost look at last year for Dak Prescott almost like a contract year. You know what I mean? His contract's coming up, so a lot of guys ball out in that contract year. But my thing is like, if we're going to look at like the playoffs, you know, and we want to win a Super Bowl, I would argue that the AFC and the guys that we have to go against, whether it's the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Bills, I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams in our division. I think our division is way tougher than the NFC.
Wow.
I feel like Dak Prescott has crumbled in the playoffs, where his percentage should not be 33%, 2-4. He should he should have been able to produce in those like very hard line moments where the game's on the line and he should have stepped up to the plate. I picked the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl last year at the beginning of the season. I thought they were going to be that good. So, you know, I'm not disregarding that Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. I would argue that maybe he's not a great quarterback.
Okay. Hey, great stuff, Hardcore Ray. We're out of time, but excellent point there on at least the NFC versus the AFC alone. Yeah, there's definitely a talent discrepancy when you see everyone that stands in your way in the AFC if you're a team like the Raiders.
Yeah, I feel like the Eagles have been a really good team. I feel like the 49ers have been a really good team.
But the NFC is a little top heavy though, with the Eagles and Niners, and then everyone else.
So
who's
your major teams in the AFC? The Kansas City Chiefs?
Sure.
Where are we going with the besides the
Bills,
Chiefs?
You know,
besides the Chiefs in the AFC West, who are we so scared of in the AFC West that it's just so much better than the NFC than the NFC East? The Chargers? What have they done? The Broncos, the Raiders own the Broncos. So, yeah, obviously you've got the reigning two-time, you know, Super Bowl champions in your division in the Kansas City Chiefs. But the rest of the division, I think the Raiders stack up perfectly well, again, and in some cases just better than the other two teams, in the division. And I think with the right quarterback, they could go head-to-head with anybody in the division or in their conference,
yes,
let
definitely.
Alone the NFL. That's why mm-hmm. I'm saying you add somebody that is the kind of quarterback that Dak Prescott is and improves the areas that have just been killing the Raiders for so long and certainly held them back last year, the third down, the red zone, the touchdown, the offense. I mean, he was the quarterback of the best offense in the league last year. I just think it's a no-brainer. You make it work with the money. You have to figure out a way to do that. There's every great team in the league is dealing with that. Every mm-hmm. single great team
and,
in the league
and always will
is dealing with paying a high-end quarterback and figuring it out around him. You do that by drafting and develop. You have confidence in yourself to be able to get the right people in the building and develop those people so that you keep churning out really good teams around you.
Case Kiefer is next here on Raider Nation.